Okay then guys, we've got a bunch of products at First Man. So first up is the men's lifestyle supplement. This is free shipping worldwide, and if you pay monthly on the subscription, you can get an extra 10% off. We've got our Life Setter Marathon Mindset and Framing course, where we talk about body language, we talk about attracting women, we talk about how to build your life in a certain way to make yourself appear more attractive to the world, how to get the best results, etc. Fantastic course, got everything that you need, a lot of things that I can't talk about on this channel that is all in the course. We've got our streaming platform at 1m.video, which is our higher form of content, series, documentaries. We're really pushing to get these out in the, over the next few months, guys. We're taking this to the next level. And then finally, we've got our new 1M House Members Club, which the links are below. You can check out the website. There's way too much to explain. In short, we buy houses around the world. You live in them. If that sounds of interest, check the link below. Now, straight into the video you came here to watch. Okay then, guys. Welcome back to another video. This video, I'm going to have to be quick. I'm going to have to teach you guys a quick lesson, but I don't have a lot of time. I just uploaded How to Beasts. Well, I just edited and uploaded How to Beasts Male Advantage Journey that we filmed for the streaming platform. That's probably live by the time you watch this video. I will release a trailer maybe tomorrow, which is pretty crazy right now. We've not got a lot of time. I could release a quick snippet. I just want to make sure it looks really, really good. For everybody who signed up to the streaming platform, 1M House isn't going to change that. We're doing both together, which is pretty crazy to think, but we are doing both together. We just had to rejig our strategy. A lot of people dropping out. But for the people who have signed up, who keep saying, oh, I can't get access or something's happened or whatnot, I've tried to contact the team that I'm working with now about 4 or 5 times. They're in America. And every time I go to contact them, we book a meeting. I'm away, I'm traveling, I'm flying somewhere, I'm going to have to cancel. We've got a meeting on Monday, and we're getting everybody migrated over without fail. So everybody who's signed up, we're getting you all lifetime people, we're getting you all migrated over, so you're locked in for life. Because I know some people have paid, they've done the lifetime, but they're getting charged $3.99 per month. There's like 20 or 30 people. We'll obviously refund that and then get you over. It's just so much going on at the moment, but it will be solved as of Monday. I've been trying to get a meeting with these guys for like 3-4 weeks. It's killing me, but it is what it is. But How to Beast Male Advantage Journey is a great episode. Really fun to watch. Really educational. Looks great. Some great content in there. Yeah, it's going to be live by the time you watch this video, guys. So before we start this video as well, just a little reminder, 1M House, there's like less than 39 places left, okay? So visit the website below, go and check it out, guys. Otherwise, if you want to get involved and you decide to wait, you're probably going to miss out. So for this video, I'm going to make it quick, like I said, but I've got to tell you guys about business, okay? And my business videos don't get as many views, but they are essential, and I will always make them to help you guys out. Now, how can small companies replace big companies? How is that even possible? Like, if I'm telling you guys that Soho House exists, if I'm telling you guys that I want GQ's head in my fridge, and these companies are as big as they are, and I'm telling you guys about my streaming platform, even though Netflix exists, it's like, you do have to sit there and go, are you stupid, Chris? You know, you're taking on 3 business ideas that are already established, you know, supplements as well, where there's thousands of supplement companies who make billions per year already established that are already in place. Why are you doing what you do? And how have you made it work up to this point? Well, I learned this lesson years ago when I was a lot younger, and I realized that the problem with big companies, because I used to try and call them, to do collaborations, to ask them questions, to try and get involved. Like, I wanted to be associated with them. And I was like, can you feature my brand? Can you feature? I was just so young and inexperienced. And I realized that I would talk to the secretary. The secretary would put me through to, you know, one person higher up than them. They would then put me through to like a content manager's PA, and then the PA would schedule a meeting. Then I would get in touch with the content manager. They'd say, we're not really interested right now, but maybe the social media team. So they'd flog me off to someone else. I'd talk to the social media team's intern and they'd be like, oh yeah, maybe I'll take your details. Basically, what I learned from all of this shit is nobody cares. Nobody cares. And I'd call on weekends as well and there was no one there. We're out of office. Our office hours are whatever till Monday, you know, 9 a.m. And I was like, as big as these companies are, they don't give a shit. The employees go home Friday at 5 and they don't come back into the office till Monday at 9. And while they're there, they're probably more thinking about what their plans are going to be that night or that weekend or like how tired they are or the breakup they're going through. Because employees are a nightmare. Employees will come to you with, oh, I've just broke up with somebody. I'm ill. I've got an issue. I've got a problem. Me and my business partner, we work about 18 hours a day, nonstop, 7 days a week. We get ill. We just shrug it off. It doesn't matter. We can get hit by a grenade and we just be like, right, we'll crawl to the meeting. Who cares? But employees are a nightmare, and this is the problem, but the benefit for you guys, any business you're looking to start, it doesn't really matter where you're starting, because the big boys will always fail, right? And I know this sounds strange, because you're like, how can a company like, you know, Apple ever fail? But companies of that size are a little bit smaller, have failed in the past, drastically, and it's because the person who starts the company has a vision, has an ethos, has passion. Think about me with First Man and 1M and everything that I've built. Everything I've built for me. And then it's to help you guys as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm one of you guys and I'm building it for me and everybody involved in the community. So let's say this company gets to massive heights. It grows to something astronomical. At some point, I'll either maybe sell it or I'll die or I'll move on or whatever happens, right? Someone else comes in, then someone else comes in, then someone else comes in, then it changes hands again. Then they hire all new employees. And eventually it gets so diluted that all you're left with is tap water. You know, you don't have that buzz anymore. You don't have that special formula and recipe that makes you go, ooh, this company relates to me. This company speaks to me. They're doing something. You know, I'll give you like Marvel in the early days. Wow. This is fun. This is different. This is exciting. Can't wait for the next movie to come out. Then it dilutes so much and they start worrying about things like inclusion. You know, oh, the, you know, do we have enough black people working at the company? Do we have enough gay people working at the company? It's like you're just by just distracting yourself with all these extra things that companies do. You know, and having this massive budget where you can almost do so much that you're not focused on the core fundamentals that got you to the dance in the first place, you just dilute the water. You get so distracted that you're not actually doing your core fundamental job that people love the company for in the first place. You know, it's just, I assume in the early days of any company, as I would do the same, you just hire based on who is the best person. But once companies get to a massive level, they go, oh, we need some diversity in the company. I think once you start doing things like that and you start worrying about, I don't think those things matter. I think if you hire based on talent, eventually you'll get diversity because talent is diverse. I think it's the same with everything that they do in big business. You know, they're so worried about their corporate image or their ESG score. And it gets, the pool gets so diluted talent-wise that you're just bringing in academic morons. You've not got those creative individuals that you had at the start that had a real passion for the business, a vision, really wanted it to grow, and genuinely cared at Sunday at 6 p.m. But employees of GQ, employees of, you know, Netflix, employees of supplement companies, whatever, they don't care. Sunday at 6 p.m., do you think they care? Do you think they're there going, oh, can't wait for work tomorrow? We care. Do you know what I mean? We're actually working on things non-stop and we have a real passion for what we're doing as the smaller company. And that is how smaller companies outcompete the bigger companies, because the work that the bigger companies do, there's a lot of work going on, but the majority of it is meaningless, is soulless. Nobody cares about the work they're doing. You know, they're just ticking boxes and, you know, it's got to go through 100 chains of commands, and then by the time it gets to the top, it's been the unique idea that the employee had has been ripped apart and destroyed and altered to fit the new narrative and the new culture and whatnot. And there's just no creativity. There's no uniqueness. There's no identity left in the brand. It just becomes a corporate shell of what it used to be. This is how smaller companies, your company, your brand, whatever you're trying to build, this is why you've got to have so much faith, because there's such a turnover rate in successful companies. You get a few that stay at the top a while, you know, the Facebooks, the Apples, the Microsofts, whatever, the Nikes, they stay at the top a long time because a few of them get it. They get the idea. But there's so many like car companies that have gone out of business. There's so many, you know, giant websites in the dot-com bubble that just completely crashed. And it's that expansion that dilutes the pool. You just go, we've lost our core fundamentals. We don't do what we were known for in the early days. It even happens to sports teams. You think of a team like Manchester United or Barcelona, what they used to be and what they are now. Just shadows of who they used to be. Because success and growth draws in the masses. And once you draw in the masses, number one, you're going to get greedy and you're going to dilute your policies. But number two, your hiring process is going to change. And the people who are hiring is going to change. And the person, even if the person who started the company is still at the top, they're not in control of everything down the bottom. As a smaller company, you're more agile. You can make decisions quicker. You can make better decisions that are for the... you know, good of the company and the good of the users, the members, the community, whatever it might be. Big companies are just worried about that balance sheet. They're worried about how it's going to look next quarter to investors. That's a dangerous place to be in. Now, there's a lot of money there and you can almost cash in. You know, if you come in as CEO of Disney and you make $2-3 billion in your time, in your tenure that you're there, and then you bounce, well, that goes down on your CV as successful time period. Could you have destroyed the company in the meantime? Yeah. Look what's happened at Marvel. Look what's happening at Disney now. But they probably made a load of money through ESG and investments and whatever. So that person's going to look great. And that's my point, is that person doesn't genuinely care about the company. These people coming in, they don't give a shit. They're more about profits. They're more about how it looks, you know, on their CV moving forward in the next job as they climb that ladder and climb that ladder. You as a smaller company, you as your own business starting up from the bottom, you have that advantage over the big boys every single time. Now, will they'll like budget you, they could buy you, they could destroy you, whatever. But you will always have that advantage of culture, small company culture, agility, you know, the true passion to actually do the right thing rather than worried about the quarterly balance sheets. That's the big difference. That is what I pride myself on when I start my businesses. That is why I go, this is a 10-year project with a streaming platform. You know, 1M House, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot quicker, but we've got like a 5 to 10 year vision with this already. You know, with everything that I do, there's 5 to 10 year visions with it, because I know, because you're smaller, you don't have a big enough budget. But if you chip away with the right culture, the right mindset, and you do the right things day after day, eventually you will overtake these bigger companies. They will fail. People will lose faith in them. I saw Vice when I was growing up. Vice was like the new, young, hip, trendy news channel that all the young kids wanted to be a part of. Now Vice is considered mainstream to young kids. It's the same trends. They've gone through the same thing. They've hired so many people that it just becomes brain dead. You know, GQ, when I was growing up, I loved GQ. And within 5-10 years, I was like, I hate GQ. All they do is sell ads in a magazine. And that's because of, you know, you're hiring people that don't care, that are just like, how do we make more money? Whereas in the early days, I'm sure whoever started GQ, which was Gentleman's Quarterly Magazine, had a vision about turning it into this amazing cultured magazine that can help men. It would have been help, 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 you know, that can make men dress better. Whereas now, God knows who works there. You know, people who probably don't care. They're actually owned by Condé Nast, who are probably owned by somebody else, who have probably been, you know, bought out by an investment group and a private equity group. People just don't care. And this is how, as a smaller company, you can beat the big boys. As far-fetched as it sounds, it might take 5 to 10 years, but your small company, my small company, can topple the big boys by keeping to those core fundamentals.